right, let's go in our Bibles tonight to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. I'm just going to ask you to remember Pastor in your prayers as he's traveling. There's some other families. Hodges are out of town still, I believe. You know when they're coming back?
Friday.
All right. It's summer. People heading out of town on vacations. Thank you, Brother Bauman. One of these days, Brother Bauman. One of these days, I'll get it. But I'm glad you're here tonight. It's a little warm out today. Praise the Lord. Air conditioning is working inside. That's always a blessing. I'm thankful for that. I was just singing in the gym, and it wasn't on down there. And just leading the kids in some singing, I get a little hot and sweaty. That's not good. I just got some blood results back from my doctor, and he says it's time for some diet and exercise. That's what he said, Brother Rice. And if I'm breaking a sweat leading songs, he just might be right. Amen. But Pastor Huber used to say, if the veins aren't popping out on your neck and forehead, then you're not singing, right? So that's good stuff too. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just really, just got the Holy Ghost coursing through my veins. Me and Samson, you know, we're just about on equal footing. There we go. No, don't believe that. Exodus chapter number 3. I'm glad I get a chance to share the Word of God with you tonight. I hope it's a blessing to you. I know whenever we focus on God's Word, that God will give a blessing if the focus is put on Him. And that's kind of the point of the message tonight, to keep the focus on Jesus Christ. Keep the focus on God. Keep the focus on the Holy Spirit, that God and His, you know, the Trinity, all parts of it in our lives, that gets put into first place. And when that gets put into first place, everything else falls into place. Exodus chapter number 3. If you're familiar with the Bible, you know here in Exodus chapter 3, where are the children of Israel? The descendants of Abraham have grown into a mighty nation, but where are they right now in Exodus chapter number 3? They are slaves in Egypt. They're in a foreign land. They're not in the land that God promised to them. They retreated when there was a famine, that God's hand was in that, providing that position for Joseph and that story of him being a slave, then rising to prominence, then put in as a prisoner, and then once again rising to prominence, the second in command of all of Egypt, being able to send for his family and care for them. And over time, the Bible tells us that there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And they stopped caring about what the Israelite people had done. And instead of viewing them as a blessing, instead of viewing them as kind of the saviors, instead of viewing them as maybe just even cohabitants in this land, they viewed them as a threat. And they began to put them in slavery and oppress them and slaughter their young ones. And that stands out to me. Abortion is in the news. Amen. And the slaughter of young ones, never a good thing. Never. In fact, to even reference the word good in the same sentence, it is just plain out evil. It is evil. And even heathen women knew, nah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to kill these children when they're born. They came up with some pretense and some lies to get out of having to kill the children of Israel. But God hears the cry of his people, and he raises up Moses. And Moses is going to return to Egypt and lead the people of Israel out. If we jump into chapter number 3, we're seeing the call of Moses. I was just talking about this a little bit. I went over to the Seatman's house. You say, which one? Rick and Jen. Their house today, next door. I talked to Scott for a little while. Did you see me while I was there? Understandably, you just came back from vacation, exhausted. That always happens. When you get back from vacation, you're tired. Anyway, I stopped in, and we were actually talking Bible for a while, and we talked about this passage of Scripture, and I thought, man, that is good stuff. We didn't talk about exactly what I'm preaching on tonight, but the Lord brought this up into my heart and into my mind today. And as God calls Moses in chapter number 3, Moses sees a strange thing when he looks out into the wilderness, and verse number 2 tells us, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame, a fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. I would want to know as well. Amen. God has a way of getting our attention. When God wants to call you and lead you into something, God will. And when God is not leading you or calling you into something, you need to prayerfully consider before you go forward. If God has the preeminence, that includes the calling of our life. That includes our job, our house, our family. When God is preeminent, He leads us in everything, and we seek His will in everything, and we seek His direction in everything. Until God called Moses, Moses was a shepherd in the desert, and he would have lived his life as a shepherd in the desert. Moses could have had a great burden in his heart. Man, I would really like, now we kind of see the opposite happens, where God's calling Moses and Moses doesn't want to go, and God has to kind of flex a little bit and say, no, you're going, and Moses obeys and he goes, all right? But let's say Moses had a great idea. Man, I would love to go. I got some power. I got some influence. I know the people. Maybe I can sneak some secret messages into Egypt. I got some old friends in there in the palace who might be able to help me. We can get a revolution started, right? Maybe from the inside. And you think of it like a Hollywood movie. And then at the last minute, when Pharaoh's empire is crumbling around him, they'll say, who started this? And I'll burst through the back of the doors of the temple and say, I, Moses, have returned to free my people. But no, without God's direction, that would have all failed. But when God's in it, it succeeds. So Moses is the one, I'm sorry, God is the one who calls Moses. And he says that we're not going to go through the whole thing, but Moses is in God's presence. God calls Moses and he tells him who he is in verse number 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Not only is God the one who starts the mission, he's the one who does the calling, but remember, God is the power in the calling. The minute that Moses was in the presence of God, what did Moses want to do? Hide. And God tells him, take off your shoes. I know we're not reading the whole thing, but when Moses realizes who he is in front of, that he is before Almighty God, he says, ooh, I think of the words of it was Isaiah, whoa, I am undone. Like, what do I do before Almighty God? Who am I that I should be in the presence of God? That is an important thing to remember. When God calls us into something, not only is He the one who has to do the leading, but it's He who has the power. We tend to, especially when things start going a little well, ooh, look at me. Do you see this good idea I had? You know, it's so well. Look at the success. Look how good it's coming together. Moses understood that when God calls and God leads, that we are under God's authority. The fear of God is something we don't hear preached on incredibly often. Because we're in the age of grace, praise the Lord. We have boldness to come before His throne through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are co-laborers together in His ministry. We are His ambassadors. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank God for all those blessings that we have. But in all of that blessing, in all of that friendship, in all of the father-son relationship that we have with God, we also need to remember that He is still God. He is Jehovah. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of miracles and power and raining fire down on sin and judging wickedness and lifting up and calling. That is all in His hands. And we're just blessed with a special relationship that we have with Him. Not to take it for granted. Not to say, God's my, you know, my buddy. He's the man upstairs. No, God is God all-powerful from eternity past to eternity future. Remember in the service of God that God is the one in charge. God is the one in charge. As we go on here, I just have a bunch of little small points. As we go on here, he says, verse 7 and 8, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. What a blessing just to read that verse. If you're going through difficulty right now, know that God sees. Know that God hears. And He knows your sorrows. God isn't just sitting on a throne as the all-powerful, watching history unfold before Him. No, he cares about each and every one of us. What a blessing to know that. Because undoubtedly, you will face sorrow. Undoubtedly, there will be a time where you're going to cry out to God. And your heart will be broken. Your mind will be confused. Your soul will be discouraged. In those moments, remember and realize that God sees and God hears and God wants to help. It doesn't just stop with the hearing and the knowing. When God hears, when God knows, then what does he do? He calls Moses. He says, now it's time. I'm going to get involved. But the children of Israel had to wait a little while before God decided it was time to get involved. Remember that when God works, not only is he the one who does the calling, not only is he the one who has the power, but he's the one who decides when. God decides when. And I would love, I was just joking around with Pastor the other day, someone asked, I think it was maybe one of my kids, what are we going to do with all that land out there? I said, well, obviously we're going to build a teen camp, and then we're going to build a Bible Institute. And then we're going to build we should have a retirement community maybe out there. Wouldn't that be awesome? And I was just teasing. Pastor Russo's there. That would be awesome. But if God doesn't call and God doesn't do and God doesn't say when to do it, what good are grand ideas? You might look at your life and you think, man, I'd love to be able to serve. I'd love to be able to move. I'd love to be able to be patient and wait on God. Say, man, I'd love this trial to pass by. I'd love if this pain that's racking my body would go away. I'd love if this hurt I have in a relationship with my spouse or with my kids would just end and everything would be back to normal. I'd love it if, man, I'd finally get some extra funds to pay off some bills that are just crushing me and weighing over my head. But you know what you do? You live faithful as a shepherd in the desert until God says, now's the time. And when God says now's the time, it is time. We're not going to read it, but don't be like Moses and stand and make excuses when God calls you. If God calls, trust him and go with him. When God gives the answer, follow him. When God opens the door, walk through it. But the whole thing needs to be coded in prayer and counsel and a close relationship with the Lord because circumstances happen to everyone. Opportunities are presented to everyone. Lost, saved, holy, righteous, wicked, everyone gets opportunities in life. How do you know if it's God? If you're walking with God. Make sure it's of God. That's a side note. As we move forward, Moses is called to deliver the people. We're going to jump forward in the story a little bit and go to chapter number 7. Chapter number 7. God raises up Moses. He imbues him with power. The power, once again, it comes from God. Moses didn't have any power to do miracles. But yet when he stands before Pharaoh, he's able to have the staff change into a serpent. He's able to have leprosy come and go. He's able to turn Nile River and the waters of Egypt into blood. You know the list of the plagues that are happening with the frogs and the boils and the locusts and the darkness. And what else happens in there? I know the death of the firstborn. I'm forgetting a couple. The brimstone raining down, destroying everything. Is there sickness in cattle, or did they die because there's a bunch of stuff goes wrong? And look what happens. Look what God says in chapter number 7. We're kind of jumping in the middle. This is actually towards the beginning of that. And the Lord, verse number 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, see? I like that. Because we jumped from chapter 3 to chapter 7, when Moses is saying, God, you got the wrong guy. God, I can't go. God, send my brother with me. He talks better. God, I don't know. They're not going to believe me. And God says, see, look, I told you it was going to work out. But he says, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. Look at the position that Moses has in the eyes of Pharaoh. In the eyes of Pharaoh, what does Moses look like? A god. And Aaron isn't just his brother. Aaron's a prophet. Now, is Moses a god? Now, this is how he appears to Pharaoh. And same with Aaron. That's how they appear to Pharaoh, because of the power that they possess. But when I saw this, it reminds me of so many stories in the Bible. When God begins to work in people, people can easily get lifted up. They get lifted up with pride. That's a warning that Paul gives to preachers. Not to be lifted up with pride. I told the people in Mexico all the time, God called me here because he knew I couldn't handle a big church. I'd get too proud. It's better for me to serve in a small place in the middle of the Mexican desert because, hey, there's no one to get proud around, all right? There's you and these 10 people and we're good to go, right? But each of us has within us the ability, it might not just be pride, but the ability to turn the blessings and the working of God in your life and contaminate it. You can twist it and use it for your own devices. You can twist it to gain influence, power, money. You can twist it to gain a heart full of pride. When God works, remember, God works with people who are filled with faith and people who are filled with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Stay humble. God calls people. God fills them with his power because he is the source of power. And when people get filled with God and they get going and things start happening and it's really God that is doing the work, it's easy for man to say, look at me. Wow, I'm kind of spiritual, aren't I? I never realized how good I was. Satan was lifted up with pride in the service of God. Satan's job was to glorify God. And in that holy, powerful position, his heart was corrupted with pride. It might not just be pride, but when we get involved in the service of God, keep on guard, because sin is right around the corner, knocking at the door, waiting for entry to tear it all down, because the devil hates what God is doing. And if God is working in your life, Satan can't stand it. And your flesh that is still walking around with you, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, your flesh can't stand it either. And it wants to tear it down and corrupt it. Be on guard. Be on guard for what happens. Now, the people didn't accept Moses right away. The leaders of Israel actually kind of, who are you to tell us? And they actually hated him because of the extra load that was put on him. So he wasn't successful in everyone's eyes at first. But God began to work. We know as the plagues go on that they get delivered. And they're able to leave and get out of Egypt. If we go into chapter number 14, Exodus chapter number 14, they leave Egypt. Pharaoh gives them permission to go. They head out into the desert. God is leading them with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And Pharaoh decides to pursue them. God knew this was going to happen. As part of the judgment of Egypt, God was going to destroy. You say, why did they deserve judgment? Remember, this is the people who was just killing babies. All right? Be careful. Bible skeptics use this all the time. If God is love, why did these people die? If God is love, why did God tell them to kill this whole civilization? All are sinners before God. The only reason you and I have breath today is because of God's mercy. We are all worthy of judgment. And then you look at the cultures and the evil worship that happened in these pagan religions, in these pagan cultures. Say, they're worthy of judgment, all right? Just be careful with that. Some people throw that in the faces of Christians, and they don't know what to say. I can't explain. Be careful. God is holy. God is righteous. Everything below that standard is worthy, can be convicted and punished for walking away from the ways of God. But here we see the children of Israel stand before the Red Sea to their backs, Pharaoh charging down on them, and the people panic. And they go back to verse number 12. Look at this. Oh, we got to read verse 11 to get a little context. Then they said unto Moses, this is the leaders of Israel, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? They forget. These are the people crying out for deliverance a little while ago. And for generation after generation, they're crying out for deliverance. It finally comes. And when things go wrong, how quickly things turn. The next warning in the work of God, don't believe what everyone says to you. The good or the bad. Walk with God. You're going to have people who come up and tell you you're the greatest thing that's ever happened. Praise God. Oh, it's such a blessing to have you here. You might convince yourself of that. That's kind of the point before. But then there's going to be people who do the opposite. When you're serving God and you're walking with God and they come up and say, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? That's not the way. Why would you? That, no, don't do. And they try to tear it down. It might be a lost person. It might be a coworker who's lost. Who maybe you got a little respect, a little rapport for, and then when they see those pearls cast before this swine, they don't know what to do with it. They mock it. They tear it down. Keep faithful. Keep following what God has given you to do. If God has put a mission on your heart to be a witness to a loved one, to a coworker, to a neighbor, keep on the mission. They might say, oh, I've been waiting day and night for someone to finally come and tell me the gospel. Praise the Lord. Or they might say, again, come on. You know, what is? Well, how do you even believe that stuff? You might not have the open door. You back off. You get filled with the Holy Ghost again. And you hit it again. And again. And again. Until God changes the mission. Until then, be careful listening to the praise or listening to the condemnation. Follow God first. And they're backed up here. The people complain. They say, is it not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? This is verse 12. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Look how quickly they lost their heart. People need faith. Faith is what sustains you. Faith is what keeps you when things get rough. Look at the next verse. We're going to see the opposite of faith. And Moses said unto the people, what's the next word? Fear. Fear ye not. When you're serving God, it requires faith. Because just as sin is waiting around the corner, pride is waiting around the corner, another one of those sins is fear. And it can be brought on by others, it can be brought on by a turn in circumstances, it can arise in your own heart. But stand strong in what God has called you to do. He tells the people that God is going to fight for them. And in verse number 21, we jump down to what happens. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. I can't imagine what that looked like. That must have been something to see. Next year at Sight and Sound, they're doing Moses. And I went this year to see David. I loved it. If you get a chance to go, I highly recommend it. It was amazing. I loved it. I loved it. Amazing. I can't recommend it enough. And I don't get any kind of payment or kickback for saying that. It was good. And they're doing Moses next year. And Brother Eric McDowell was telling me he saw it in the past. And I want to see a visualization. Even though it's art and it's on a stage in a theater, that would just be cool to kind of see what they can do. And just that would just be the smallest taste of what it probably actually was like to be there that day and to walk through the sea. But who is standing there in front? Leading the people. Who's standing there with the staff? Moses. Moses is standing there. And it's kind of a shift in the thought of the message as we close here tonight. But sometimes we don't know what to do. Like we don't have a grand mission in our life right now. We're just the shepherd in the desert, following God faithfully day by day. And maybe you don't have a call to teach a Sunday school class or to go on a missions trip or to witness to a specific person. You know what you do? You just keep faithful in the small things. You read your Bible. You spend some time in prayer. You just generally be a testimony and a witness. You attend church. You tithe. You encourage people. And then sometimes God will come along and there'll be that burning bush and God gives you something special to do. And those are great things. But there was only one Moses too. Not everyone is going to get grand adventures in serving the Lord. Not everyone has missionary stories like David Livingston going through the jungles of Africa. But everyone has something to do for the Lord. But it might not seem that big and that special. What did everyone else Israel? What did everyone else in Israel? What was their call? They weren't Moses. What were they called to do? Follow Moses. Follow Moses. Hey, if God's talking to Moses, I'm going to get as close to Moses as I can. Now, pastor's not here tonight, so I think that's why the Lord put this on my message, this message on my heart tonight, to follow God's leader. You might look at Pastor Russo and say, that's no Moses. Well, maybe Moses was really short. I don't know. Who knows? I'm just teasing. But you know what our call is to do when you don't know what to do? Make sure in your personal life, God is first. And then when it comes to your practical life, God has given us someone to be a leader, a counselor, a prayer warrior, a friend, someone to cry with, to pray with, to rejoice with, to serve alongside, and to follow. Follow. It can be hard to follow. You see how quickly the people turned on Moses when something started going wrong. Conspiracy theory time. If this inflation keeps climbing and things start crashing and people are underwater in their houses, not literally underwater, but you know, you can't afford the mortgage and gas prices keep going up and you're looking at your finances and you're looking, there's panic and trouble. You know what you need to do? Keep faithful in the things that God has called you to do. Keep following. It's easy to follow in good times. It's easy to follow, speaking more personally here at church, when the budget's great and there's extra money and there's no stresses and all the missionaries are supported and we can do church fellowships and we have this fun and good times. But then when things start going wrong a little bit or can start going south to our perception, even though it could be perfectly within the will of God, it was in the will of God. The Egyptians were there that day right on their heels when the people said, "What have you done to us? You fool, you failure." No, right in the center of God's will. They had to follow. Follow. We're going to look at one more section. We go over to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 3. After Moses, we know the next person to take up the mantle of leader of Israel was Joshua. And God told Joshua in chapter 3, verse number 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, and they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Once again, God chooses to raise up a man to lead. And it's not the man who is critical, it's the fact that God is in the man, right? And God shows that to the people here. To lift up Joshua in their eyes, he confirms the fact that he is with them. And what does he do in verse number, where was it here? Oh, there it is, verse number 8. We just have to read a little further. It's right there. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, "When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still." What goes out before the children of Israel here before they cross the Jordan River? The ark. What is the ark? It's a representation of the presence of God, his covenant with the people. And that is what goes out first. And if we read the story, you see it happen there. The ark goes out. The water is cut off when the ark goes out. The people cross over, they bring the 12 stones and they place it as a memorial of what happened there that day. But what I want to point out is that in Exodus, when they crossed the Red Sea, who was standing in front? Moses with his staff. When they crossed the Jordan River, who was standing out front? The ark was standing out front.
God was out front. His promise was out front. Remember what I told you when we started the little message tonight, that God needs to be first. Sometimes you have a charismatic, powerful, easy to follow leader. I mean, we're just behind Moses. You can picture him as they do in the movies, on a rock on the edge of the water, holding up the staff, and the water's splashing towards him, and you just see this outline, and you think, man, there's a man that I could follow. Look at him. Look at the power of God in his life. What a great leader. I'd take, I'd follow him anywhere. And then sometimes you might not have that. Sometimes you might have a little more spiritual man, but who just might not be all show and flash, you know, can immediately connect with you in one word. I'm not talking about anything in particular here. I want you to think, well, which one is Pastor? No, we're not doing that, okay? We're not doing that. That's not what this is about. This is about no matter who God puts in your life to follow, because you won't always be in this church. You won't always be under the same pastor. You might not always be under the same, you know, friends around you that are guiding and have an influence in your life. But it doesn't matter if God is what's first. If God is first, it could be Joshua, it could be Moses, it could be some of the judges that are about to follow, it could be no leader. Because that's what's about to happen. And the people say, we can't handle this. Why? Because God wasn't first anymore. They started doing what was right in their own eyes. Keep God first. When God calls, listen. Remember, the power comes from him. The call comes from him. The timing comes from him. The mission comes from him. Remember, the praise comes from him. And if you're not in the middle of a mission doing that, just this is normal life too. It's two messages kind of put together. I know it doesn't click that well, but these are the two thoughts God put on my heart today. You may say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what my mission is. I don't know who I'm following. Well, follow God. Follow God. You may look at Pastor Russo and think, man, if I was in charge, I would do. Careful. You may look at Pastor Russo and say, well, he's no Pastor Huber. I was talking to a fellow today. He loved Pastor Kopaczewski. No, Pastor, he's no so-and-so I listen to on the internet. He's no preacher that we see at Northeast Vision. He's no big, like a Brother Kaiser or a Brother King who comes in and preaches. Man, if our pastor was just like, no. You follow God. And God's man, whether his name is Moses, whether his name is Joshua, or whether it's, as we go through, Gideon, whatever happens, follow God. Keep him first, seek his will first, and trust in him. Trust in God, trust in what he's called you to do. Let's stand for prayer, and we'll be dismissed tonight. I know that message was a little scattered, but I hope it was a blessing to you tonight. Encourage somebody this week. If you don't know what to do to serve God, send a text or call someone and pray for them. That's a great thing to do, especially if you didn't see them this week in church. Reach out, be an encouragement, be a blessing. Find someone to give a tract to. Pray for somebody. Memorize a Bible verse. Lots of things you can do that'll be a blessing in your life this week. Amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for the power that you have in our lives and, Lord, the desire that you have to work through us. And I pray, even in my own heart, that I would be faithful to seek your will and to follow it with my whole heart, that it wouldn't be for glory, for pride, for recognition, but just to know that I am faithfully serving my God. I pray, Lord, that I would be faithful to follow, not to criticize and find fault or to wish for something different, but to follow you and to follow the man of God that you've put in my life. Lord, we love you. It is an honor to be called a Christian. I pray this week that you would remind us to walk with you. I pray that tomorrow, if we skip it, you'd have the Holy Spirit prick our hearts to spend some time in your word and to pray for someone. Prick our hearts when we pass by person after person and never hand out a tract. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have control or conviction in our lives, that we would walk in the Spirit daily and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, there are many prayer needs. We've lifted up some of them to you tonight. You know that we need you desperately. Watch over our pastor and his family while he's away tonight. I pray that you would give him a blessed time, bring him back refreshed and ready to take on the ministries of summer, and to continue faithfully sharing your word with us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You are dismissed. God bless you as you go.